Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guest today, back by popular demand, is Syed Hashimi.
Right.
Hey, Syed. How are you?
It's always great to be here, Robert.
It is always great to have you. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, right.
We are here to talk about Build, not the conference.
Right.
But Build, the black box.
That's right. Yeah, Build, you know, to a lot of people, is very much a black box. You know, you hit a shortcut key on Visual Studio, and then, you know, out pops some type of output.
Exactly.
How it happens, you know.
Which is not a bad thing for many people.
That's right.
But you can learn more about it.
There's a lot to know about Build, you know. For instance, you know, if you ever wanted to actually extend the Build process, you know, that's where you need to start knowing about it. So, for instance, let's say if you're a web developer, you know, you might want to know, hey, how can I extend the, let's say, publish process, which is formerly, you know, part of Build as well. But, you know, I want to extend the publish process to, you know, grab files from this folder and then create it, you know, add it into my package. Or let's say if you're a Windows form or a WPF developer, you might be interested in knowing, hey, how can I, you know, add certain files to be compiled? They might be generated files, stuff like that.
Okay, it's a fairly deep, complex topic?
It is. I think so, yeah. Okay. It's definitely, you know, has its challenges and all, but, you know, the interesting part about Build and, you know, MS Build specifically is, you know, those are skills and, you know, knowledge that you can use with you for every project. You know, for instance, I've never professionally been a build master before, and that's really kind of by design. I'm not really, I mean, I love MS Build and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, I have a passion about development and whatnot, but the way that I'm able to kind of stay on top of MS Build and is by using it. And I can use it on every project that that I work on because, you know, MS Build is going to be involved in those. So I think it's very powerful and, you know, it's a very interesting tool to have in the toolbox.
So is this a topic that is robust enough that entire books could be written on the subject?
Multiple books could be written on this subject,
really?
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
Do you know of any good ones off the top of your head?
I know an excellent book.
Would you like to share that?
I would, yeah, exactly.
I can't set you up any better than that.
I would, yeah, exactly. So here I have, So here I have inside the Microsoft Build Engine, using MS Build and Team Foundation Build. This was released in, I think it was January of 2010. And this covers everything, let's say, up to Visual Studio 2010. You know, there's three main sections. The first section is all about MS Build. The second section is all about Team Foundation Build, or Team Build, as most people call it. And the third section is about web publishing.
Okay.
Right, so that's this book. We have received a lot of really great feedback on this. You know, I've been working with MS Build since 2005. This is the second edition of this particular book, but there was a first edition, and then I had written one before with a different publisher. So it's not my first time, you know, doing this, basically. So we got some really great material in here, really great reviews for the second edition.
So this goes through 2010, then there were presumably changes in the .NET
That's right.
4 or 5 and Visual Studio 2013.
That is
so
correct,
you changed it, and you put out third edition equal size, right?
That would have been, you know, that would have been the way that it would have normally gone.
Right.
But, you know, what actually ended up happening in this case was I actually had dinner with, he's a guy over at Microsoft Press. His name is Devin. He's a really great guy, and he's one of the guys behind their Twitter account. But in any case, so yeah, we had dinner, and we started talking about an update. And whenever you say update, you know, I really start getting nervous because there's hundreds and hundreds of screenshots.
Yes.
Every screenshot has to be redone, basically, right?
It has to be recaptured. The whole thing needs to be retested,
Exactly, right. There's a lot of work just to do an update. So we're kind of brainstorming. We said, hey, how can we, you know, deliver what people are looking for with a lot, in a much easier way, mm-hmm. and also be able to give people what they really want. So what we've done is we actually kind of pioneered a new format for Microsoft Press. And with that, I'll introduce the supplement.
A supplement.
To wow. Inside the Microsoft Build Engine Second Edition. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's
so.
Significantly cheaper.
It is. Yeah, exactly. So this is going to cost you most likely less than $10 mm-hmm. If you were to buy it off, you know, some popular online web bookstores.
Right.
And the beautiful part about this is it just has what's new.
Right.
So let's say if you already have the second edition, and now you just want to find out what's new. So we have those three same exact sections, MS Build,
yep.
Team Build, and Web Publishing.
It's also way more environmentally friendly than
right.
me than throwing out this one or recycling it
right.
Because it's now been replaced by mm-hmm. version 3.
Cool. Exactly, yeah.
All right, so we'll put up links to that.
Yeah, all the information for both of these mm-hmm. books as well as samples, and all the samples are open source as well.
Okay.
They're all available at msbuildbook.com.
Okay.
Right.
Cool.
Yep, so that's where you can get all the information for that.
All right.
Yep.
So show us some demos.
Sure, yeah, right. What I wanted to kind of show was not necessarily, let's say, build related, but I actually want to talk a little bit about some Visual Studio extensibility stuff.
Okay.
You know, because I've been kind of recently playing around with that, and I got some kind of sample projects that I could show you.
Cool.
All right. The first item was actually, we talked about it last time I was over here, was Slow Cheetah.
Slow Cheetah,
I don't think we really need to actually demonstrate that here, but that is definitely, you know, one of the bigger projects that I work on.
So for people that don't remember that or didn't catch that episode, give us the quick
right.
overview of what that is.
Exactly. So if you're developing Windows apps, so let's say WPF or WinForms, inside your app config, there's no way to actually transform that when you do a build,
mm-hmm.
which if you're a web developer, you notice that when you have web config, we do have some web config transforms. They actually execute it on package or publish, but we've received a lot of, you know, customer interest that said, hey, I would like to be able to transform my app config mm-hmm. file in the same way. So Slow Cheetah will basically go ahead and light that up. So after you install Slow Cheetah into your project, your build process will be updated, and then we'll add some, you know, menu options into Visual Studio to allow you to create a config transform, and then when you hit F5, your app config will be transformed.
So it's a much easier way to have a debug version of the config and a release version of the config.
Exactly.
Rather right. than having to go and manually yeah. make changes.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And then that's just one aspect of it. And from the extensibility side, so Slow Cheetah is kind of composed of two things. One is a Visual Studio package, and then the other is a NuGet package.
Mm-hmm.
So the NuGet package is the one that actually carries those build updates. So by using a NuGet package, the kind of advantages are that, let's say if we're working on a project together, I can go ahead and install Slow Cheetah into a project. And then I had the Visual Studio package installed as well. And that will go ahead and expose those menu options. Something happened here. That will expose.
So what happens when you don't plug in your computer?
All right.
There we go.
So that will expose, you know, the menu options, so that way I can go ahead and generate those transforms. But then when I share it with you, you don't have to have any actual special bits installed on your machine, because those NuGet
okay.
packages will kind of transfer and everything will happen at build.
Right.
You're just not going to get those command options.
Cool.
Yep. All right, cool. So let's talk about a different project that I have here. So I've actually been working a lot on some of these side projects with Mads Christensen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a project that we kind of created before. It's called Farticus. It is the original Visual Studio Fart app.
Awesome.
Right. You know what? Actually, the funny part
I don't
was
think I've seen that before.
Yeah, exactly. So what it does is here I've got the code. for this, basically, and we just have some funny statements here. These are supposed to be showing up in the status bar, but I think we have a bug right now to where they're not actually showing up, but that's fine. The idea here is that, let's say if you do a build, you know, it would be really great to know if the build failed in a different way, right? Like, for instance, you know, maybe I'm not paying attention to the screen, and let me just kick off a build here. I'm remote desktop, so, okay, I don't know if you heard it, but it was very light on this machine. How can we turn up the... Okay, I think the volume is all the way up. Yeah, it was the fart. It's very low here, but okay. But in any case, when you fail the build, it will basically fart. And I think this is a great extension for anybody who's presenting. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're presenting, I think you really should announce it. You know, if you fail the build, but we actually just kind of did this as a joke. But the fact is, you know, we've taken all these extensions, put them up on GitHub, and that's a really good way for people to just try to see, hey, how can I create an extension that does X, Y, and Z?
Right.
You know, this is just a silly little example, but mm-hmm. you know, imagine you might want to replace those fart sounds with something else.
Right.
And you know, you might want to just peruse the code, basically. So that's kind of the idea. So besides build, we also have this button up here that will just go ahead and it'll play a random fart, basically, right? So, so yeah, like I said, all this is available up on GitHub, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
But you know, this type of extensibility is what most people will consider, you know, extensibility when they talk about Visual Studio.
Right.
But there's also other ways that you can actually extend Visual Studio that are less less known. And let me show you that. So I'll go ahead and close this down. And then let me open up a different project here. It's called Best Practices Chrome Extension. This is another one that I'm working on with Mads as well. And this also, pretty much everything I'm going to show you here is open source.
Mm-hmm.
It's all out there for people to find and also to learn from. I try to do everything, you know, pretty much out in the open. But, you know, just so that way, you know, people can take a look at what we're doing and, you know, maybe if they want to copy the way that I do something or maybe let me know how I can do better as well.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I have this Best Practice Chrome extension here. So let me actually, I'm just going to do a build, and then I'll show you what actually gets created. And then we'll say, hey, how did I go through and do that? So let me delete this bin folder. Oops. Let me just delete this. All right. So with inside Visual Studio, I'll say build, then I'll say rebuild. All right, so rebuild all successful. And it has some message here about creating a zip file. Okay.
Ooh.
What we can see is I have a zip file which has been created.
So did it also build and then create the zip file, or did it create the zip file instead of building?
The latter, right. Yep.
Cool, okay.
So in this case, what this project is representing is a Chrome extension,
mm-hmm.
Which you can go ahead and upload to the Chrome gallery. And the way that you're going to do that is through a zip file that has particular files inside of it. And if you look at the way that we've structured this particular project, in the Solution Explorer, you can see we have a app folder here. And then we have some other additional items like scripts and screenshots and whatnot. But what happens...
Could you create an extension that when you build a project extract.
Hold on. This is not an extension, though.
Okay.
That's the thing. That's what I was going to say. This is not what somebody would typically think about when you say Visual Studio extensibility,
uh-huh.
right? So let me tell you how I actually did this. Doing this is probably way easier than you might think if you know MS Build. And if you don't, feel free to buy my book. No, actually, so there's kind of two ways that we can do this, right? If I was like a third-party company and I wanted, you know, to have Chrome projects being a formal thing with inside Visual Studio, mm-hmm. the way that I would do that is I would go and create my own Visual Studio project system. And then I'd have to package that up and then distribute that to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go through all that for this particular thing because I don't really care about adding any new special visual studio
right.
functionality.
You just want the end output to be something
exactly.
different.
All I want to do is I want to take a web project, remove the whole build component that's there, and just replace it with my own. That's all I want to
okay.
do. So let me show you how I did that with this particular project.
Okay.
All right. So the first thing I did, and I actually have a blog post about this as well. I guess we can just put the link on it under the show. So what I did was I just created a normal web application project, and then I right-clicked on the project and said unload. That will go ahead and unload it. And then there's a further step of editing. All right, so this is the project file which sits behind
right.
your web project, right? These are all MS Build files. You can see these are standard properties. You might be familiar with some
mm-hmm.
of them. And now we start having our files and whatnot. And then we can start seeing these import statements here. If you look closely at these import statements, you'll see that there's some type of condition which will actually prevent them from being loaded. Let me go all the way to the end. Just 1 second. Let me show you this one as well. All right. So for each one of these imports, there's a condition that will basically prevent it from getting loaded.
Okay.
The reason why I left these in as opposed to just removing it is in some scenarios, if these imports are not there, Visual Studio will think that it needs to be upgraded and then
right.
add the imports back. So
yep.
it's best to just basically put a false condition. That way the
okay.
import is still there. Okay. After doing that, then all I did was I added this import here that said, hey, import this file, basically. And there's just a redirection for this ligershark.chrome.targets. And let me show you what does that target look like. All right, just 1 second. Let me go here. All right, best practice Chrome extension, and then I'll just go up 2 folders. And then there's a build folder here. And then here's my target file. So basically, if I look at this targets file, I can see that it has 3 targets. So these 3 are the required targets. So there's build,
mm-hmm.
there's rebuild, and then there's okay. clean. So these are the 3 required targets, basically. Build, actually, you know what? I actually said that wrong. Build is not necessarily a required target. Let's talk about how does Visual Studio work with MS Build. Okay, so there's essentially 3 operations inside Visual Studio that will kick off some type of build.
Mm-hmm.
There's your build button.
Yep.
And when you actually do that build button, what happens is it'll kick off a build, and then the default targets will be executed. So in this case, the default target says build.
Okay.
So I know I need to define a target that's called build, or I could rename this one.
Sure.
And then inside Visual Studio, there's the rebuild button.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuild will always kick off a target called rebuild. So now I know I need to have rebuild.
Yep.
And then there's a clean.
Right.
And clean will always kick off a target that's called clean. There's actually another scenario, too, for publishing. But
okay.
I think that's irrelevant here. But in any case, what I've been able to do is basically use all the power that Visual Studio has, let's say for IntelliSense and all the nice highlighting and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not getting any of the build overhead, right? So what I've
right.
done was I've totally skipped everything that's happening and 100% replaced it. There's nothing else that's happening. Let me point out one property, though, if anybody actually is going to use this technique. There's a property that's called use host compiler if available. This should be set to false because the host compiler is a performance trick that Visual Studio uses in order to kind of keep your builds as fast as possible.
Okay.
So it has like an in-memory compiler that it uses.
Mm-hmm.
For this case, you don't want to use the in-memory compiler, so you just set it to false.
Okay.
Yep. And man, this is absolutely fantastic, to be quite honest.
So now, tell us where it, how it knows now. So you've now told it not to do the normal build.
Right.
But walk us through where you told it to do something different.
Yeah, that was where, so when I actually, when I took these imports out, when I added the condition to make it false, mm-hmm. that's what prevents your normal build process from being imported. And then I added this additional import down at the bottom, and this guy says, hey, go ahead and import this.
Okay.
And then I created those three targets, build, rebuild, and clean.
Yep.
That's essentially it. And then when I hit the build button inside Visual Studio, it'll load up that project, and then it'll say, hey, invoke the default targets, which is build.
Right.
So that's when this target actually gets executed. And if you take a look at it, this target is actually very simple. All it does is it finds the files in the app folder, gathers them, and then just calls a zip task.
So yep. App candidate files to zip, what right. is that?
Yep.
Is that?
Those are the files that are inside that app folder. So here, I showed you, so here's app candidate file to zip, right? So if I take a look at this guy, it's going to pull in content and none. So these are items, right? So if I go back here, if I look at how my project is kind of constructed, mm-hmm. and this is where the whole MS build knowledge will come in, obviously, okay. right? If I look at how this project is constructed, you can see that the files are going into an item list that's either called content or none.
Okay.
There's a few other item lists as well, but in this case, I only had those two that were being used. So that's what this does, basically. So what I'm doing is...
And so where is that candidate files to zip defined?
Right here. Right here. Yep. So what I did in this particular case, I said I define app candidate files to zip, and then I say, hey, remove app candidate files to zip. That just makes sure that there's nothing in there.
Okay.
And then the second line says, hey, include all my content files, and then include all my none files.
Okay. So I guess my question is, underscore app candidate files to zip, is that an element name that's recognized
no,
by
no,
Visual
no.
Studio?
Or that's what I created.
Okay,
that's
you created that.
Yep.
Got
exactly,
it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So where's that?
That's it. That's just right here. This is the entire definition of it. That's
okay. So
you know, you might need to buy a copy of my book, Robert.
Maybe.
Yeah,
so
right.
I still don't fully understand where the directions are to Visual Studio to zip this up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, sure, sure. So I gather all the files in this item. You can think about this as being an array variable, right? So now mm-hmm. I have a list of candidate files to zip. And then at this case, what I say is, hey, from those candidate files to zip, mm-hmm. find me all the items which are in the app folder.
Okay.
Because if you remember, my project consisted of the app folder, as well as some kind of screenshots, you know, stuff that's for the gallery, right?
Yep.
So I don't want to necessarily zip those. So I filter it, and I say, hey, only give me the files that are under that app folder, mm-hmm. and then populate this other item that's called app files to zip. That is this one.
Okay.
Right? And then I take that app files to zip, and then I pass it into this MS build zipping task.
There
right?
it is, okay.
Yep, and this task is it's available as a part of the MS build extension pack, which is on CodePlex.
Okay.
Yep.
Now I get it. So that's
exactly, yep.
the instructions. That's how Visual Studio knows, or actually MS build knows what
that's
to
right.
do.
That's right. Yeah, gotcha. Visual Studio knows nothing about
it knows
what's
nothing.
Happening here.
All it knows is right. that you said build, it doesn't hand its task off to the usual place, it hands it off to somebody else who then goes and does whatever it does.
Actually, it does the same exact thing it would have normally done.
Okay.
It takes the project and it invokes the default target.
Okay.
In this case, I've removed the default target
right.
and totally replaced it.
Right.
Yep.
But Visual Studio is just calling some other task.
It's just calling MS
right.
build.
Yep.
yep.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
Cool. Now I get it.
Right. Yep. So basically, this is like a poor man's project system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that I've got this set up, I can just copy and paste, you know, this directory structure along with those particular files that I need, create a new Chrome extension, build, and whether I build it from Visual Studio or the command line, the output is going to be the same.
So how does this compare this to a custom action at the end of the build? So you could kind of do the same thing, right?
Well, actually not.
No?
So in that case, let's say this is not necessarily a valid web application project, Right, and you know, there could be situations where the content of this may actually not build.
Got it.
So then, in which case that build would fail, it would never get to your post action.
I see. Yep. Okay.
And even if it did work, you're just spending cycles sitting there for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all you want to do is you just want to create this zip file. You don't really care about what else is happening, right?
Okay.
So without a knowledge of MS Build, you wouldn't be able to do this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yep.
So could you... can you, so if you want to do something other than zip, can you write essentially custom code that gets called? So for example, you're doing labs, right? Hands-on labs, mm-hmm. and your starter project won't build. That's the purpose, right? It won't build yet. So you can't then use a custom action to, for example, strip out code and make snippets out of them.
Right.
So could you use this to write a routine that would go in, identify snippets, strip them out, make the VizX file to insert snippets, and then call it from here instead of the build?
Yeah. Yep.
That'd
That's
be
right.
cool.
Yep.
That's cool.
So let's say, you know, when you see the usage of this zip task here,
mm-hmm.
that's actually from an assembly that's inside this this folder here. So let me show you that. So if I go... All right, so if I go into that build folder and then look inside lib, you'll see that's where I have the MS Build extension pack.
Okay. But,
so if I wanted to leverage any additional MS Build tasks, I could always drop them in a particular folder and then just start using them. If I wanted to write my own task, I have kind of two high-level options. I can either create a separate, you know, create my own little project for it and then mm-hmm. create this assembly and then use that assembly anywhere, everywhere. But if I didn't want to go through all that hassle, I could actually write a task with inside this same particular build script.
Okay.
So you can actually write, you know, C-sharp code or VB code as a task inside an MS Build project and then actually use that task
right.
in the same way that you would a compile task.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
And this is seems to me a little bit easier than adding a menu item to Visual Studio, right?
Yeah, and but this is way more than a menu
specific,
item, though.
It is, but specific right. to the project, as opposed to creating
that's
an
right.
extension that's
right.
always there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This, yeah, the that's what I was saying before. So the, I guess the analog to this wouldn't necessarily be an extension. It would be a new project system.
Right.
Right. And a new project system is a lot more difficult than creating an extension.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, totally. Right. No, actually, you know, funny enough, I mean, it sounds like something silly or whatever, but there's a million different applications of this, right? You know, if I'm creating a Chrome extension, just do it this way. If I want to create a whatever other kind of extension you want to do, you know,
yep.
if you can actually write the MS Build to do it, then you can use Visual Studio. And they can behave just like any other projects that you have. For instance, you know, let's say if I had three or four different projects here and I wanted to build them on, let's say, Team Build or Team City, I can do those normal things that I would, right? So, for instance, I can go ahead and configure this with Team Build. I'll have to build the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the day, I'll have whatever output for my other projects and this Chrome extension actually kind of sitting there. So.
Right.
You know, let's say if you're in an environment where there's a dev lead and maybe five or six developers, this would be the case where probably the dev lead would go through and actually do these changes, and then the developers just get to kind of reap those benefits. So,
right.
you know, imagine you're working, let's say, with a bunch of guys creating Chrome extensions. How much time is this going to save you, right? You know how we were doing this manually? I mean, we've got the files, and then it's just, you know, you have to, like, right-click and say zip, and
yeah.
it's so error-prone, and... You know, even if it takes you 30 seconds, how long does that take you over the whole year, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yep.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah. No, for sure. What do we do now? Should we move on to a different kind
sure.
of extension? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So we've shown how we can kind of hijack the Visual Studio build process.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me show you how can we actually enhance it.
Okay.
All right, cool. So now I've got a different project. I'll close this. This project that I'm about to show you is called Package Web. And let me go ahead and create a default web project here. So one of the pieces of feedback that we, you know, kind of continuously receive is, I'd like to create a zip file for a web package, mm-hmm. and for a web project, and then take that zip file from one environment to another. There's a few different challenges there. You know, one of them is the config transformation, basically. So when you build a web package inside Visual Studio, you know, you pick your configuration and whatnot, and then we go ahead and we kick those transforms off, and at the end of the day, what kind of gets created is a web config that's already been pre-transformed, and there's no way that you can really transform those. So let me show you how I have created something that will kind of help in this space. Let me populate this with just one file, really. All right, so I'm just going to create this index.html. All right, cool. Actually, that's fine. I was going to set the default document, but we can always navigate to it, so that's fine. All right, let me right-click, and with Visual Studio 2012, to create a web package, what you do is you right-click and say Publish, yep. and then we actually create a package profile. So I'll say New, to Package, and I'll drop this guy down. Let me pick the folder where I want these files to be published to. And then, oops. Just one second. I'm not used to this keyboard. All right. All right, cool. So I haven't done anything yet. This is just your standard package process. So let me go ahead and I'll package it. And, you know, I told you the main purpose of that package web is to enable people to kind of create a package
yep.
that can be used in other places, right? So let's take a look at what this package has. And I'm going to explain to you one of the pet peeves that I have as well. So one of the things that I really have always disliked about our package process, like even before I joined Microsoft, was the way that we're actually creating these packages. For instance, if you take a look, if I start drilling into this content folder, mm-hmm. you'll see it's basically replicating my whole source structure, right?
Yeah.
Okay, not only is this annoying, but sometimes it causes significant issues to people because if you extract the file, if you extract the zip file and then you know need to party on it, mm-hmm. sometimes you might actually exceed that 259 exactly. character yep. limit. It's not an issue with WebDeploy because WebDeploy has support for those long paths, but any of the case is frustrating, basically. And I'll show you how does package web help that too. Let me go ahead and delete these files.
Okay.
And then I'll install my NuGet package, and then we'll take a look at what actually happened. How did I light it up? All right, so I'll go ahead and delete those. And then let me open, I'll just do it from the Package Manager console, mm-hmm. but you could right-click and say Manage NuGet Packages as well. All right, so I'll say Install Package, Package Web. All right, cool, so let's say what has actually happened. All right, so the interesting part is now I see this file that says, hey, web application 5.wpp.targets. Mm-hmm. So in the web world, our web projects have an extensibility point where if there's any file that is called project name.wpp.targets, we'll automatically import that.
Okay.
It's actually any file that ends with wpp.targets inside the same folder as the project, but I usually always try to match the project name.
Okay.
So what Package Web did was it looked to see if there was a wpp.targets file. If there wasn't, we'll go ahead and create it. And then after creating it, it would then use the MS Build APIs to add this property and also add this targets file here. So package web is kind of at some point, you know, all these projects kind of blend in together, right? And they all kind of, a lot of them kind of start with Slow Cheetah, right? So that's why I actually have some, oh no, this is Seto Dream. Never mind. That's fine. Forget about it. But in any case, so now I import this file that's called setodream.package.targets. And if I go and look at that file, we can take a look at what does that guy actually do. So if I go back up and go into packages, package web, should be tools, oops, must be content. Yeah, okay. So if I go and look at this targets file, you know, this is just MS Build, basically. So if I go and look at this targets file, what it's going to do is it's going to basically hook into this the package process, which in the web projects is it's implemented using MS Build, and we've got some extensibility. So what it does is it will go ahead and extend that process to kind of perform a few additional steps. And let me show you what those additional steps are. All right. So we saw before I created a package, and then we saw what happened, right? The only thing I've done since then is add that NuGet package, right?
Exactly.
So now let's see what we get. So let's say publish. And go ahead and publish this guy. All right, now going back. Oop, not the right one. All right, going back. I see that same exact zip file. And I also see this PowerShell script up here that's called publishinteractive.ps1. So I'll get to that. All right, but let me show you the zip file with those long file paths. So before, you know, a minute ago, I showed you how deep those folders were, right? So let's see what does it look like now. So I drill into this content folder. Then I have another folder that's called website. There and then there's all my content, right? The interesting part, though, if you take a look, that, hey, we've got these two additional folders here. So these were actually added by Package Web. So let's take a look. If I drill into that, just one second. Whoa, not what I meant to do. All right, if I drill into it, we'll see a few different things, right? We'll see a Microsoft.web.xml transform.dll. This is the XDT assembly. XDT is the XML document transforms. They're the technology that powers those web config transforms. This is an official Microsoft project. It's actually open source. We recently open sourced it actually to kind of support NuGet. It's open source and you can distribute it with your own projects. So if you have a project and it's got nothing to do with Visual Studio or nothing to do with Microsoft, all you want to do is transform some XML files. You can do that with the NuGet package that we have. But anyways, I'm getting off topic. But at the end of the day, I've got these assemblies which I need, and I have an MS Build file that will kind of orchestrate these. So let me show you what does it actually do. It's a lot easier to show this than to actually do it. All right, let me show you another cool feature. I don't know if this has ever been demoed on Channel 9, so this is good. So before the show started, I created a new website in Azure Websites.
Okay.
And now I can see all my Azure websites here. One of the items, so what I want to do is just download the Publish profile. So I can just right-click on it and then say, hey, download Publish profile.
Nice.
And then what it will do is go ahead and download it into my Downloads folder, then just open it. So I'm going to use that file to actually publish this to.
So where'd that is that a feature of the product?
That's it. Yeah. That is that is out there. Yeah. Right. That is out there. Yep.
Cool.
It's in the latest Azure SDK feed.
Ah. Yep. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. Let me go to this website.
Because that's a lot easier than going to the Azure portal, going down and finding the website, and then trying to remember where that option is.
Yeah, that is a lot easier than
that.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Those Azure guys, they're always doing cool stuff.
That's me, dude. That's my team. Yeah, right. But Yeah, so I do the Azure website stuff too, yep. All right, but yes, I agree. That team is doing wonderfully amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. So now let me drill into that folder, and I'm going to show you how can I actually publish this from the command line using package web and that publish interactive, right? So let's go here. I need to get the settings out of that publish profile. So I'll say get content, users, oops. Downloads, say a test.publish settings, and then I'll say xml.n0. Okay, I'm just going to use these to kind of cross-reference, basically. Yeah, that's fine. All right, publish interactive. All right, so at this point, what has happened is I've executed that PowerShell script. It picked up the zip file that was sitting next to it. It has extracted it to a folder, which is all this stuff that's happening up here. Okay. So it extracts it to a folder, and then it starts looking for webconfig transforms. So it's found that, hey, you have debug and release.
Right.
Which one do you want to execute? So I'll say release. And then it executes that transform. That's all this stuff here. That's MS build as well. And then it actually finds all the, it will start asking you for the web deploy settings. So we can go ahead and start entering it. And before I actually start the publish, I want to point out that I visited the website to show that there was nothing here,
right,
basically, before. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
There's no tricks up your sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wearing very short sleeves, as a matter of fact, as well. All right, IIS web application name. So that's going to be your MS deploy site. And I'm planning on actually updating package web to where you can pass a flag that says, hey, here's my publish settings file. But I haven't quite gotten there yet. All right, computer name is just going to be your publishing URL. So let me copy this. Username is the username.
Nope.
No, that's this one. Yeah, so Azure website's username always has the dollar sign in front of it. All right, password. So one of the good things about using PowerShell, you know, if there was somebody that was like, you know, peeping through my door cracks, they're not going to see my password because we can mask it. Okay, allow untrusted. I'll say
to show it on the screen on top.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. But by the time that this show will air, I would have deleted that site. Hopefully, if I remembered correctly. But okay. All right. What if WebDeploy has a? It has support for what if. So you can invoke the publish process and then pass a flag that says what if, and then it will just give you a summary of what would have happened.
Okay.
In this case, let me just go ahead and say true to it. Usually I like to do a what if before I publish. So now it's actually going through and doing that publish, or doing the what if.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that there was no errors here. And then if I go back, I can also see that nothing was actually published.
Right.
All right. So let me show you one thing that has changed, basically. So now we've executed that script. And then now you can see, hey, I've got some type of README file here.
Yeah.
You're probably wondering yourself, what is this README file, right? So let's find out. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and open it up. If you look through the contents of this file, you'll see, hey, those are the values which I just entered.
Yeah.
With the exception of password, of course.
Right.
So let me go through. I'm going to replace this password. And then I'm going to set what if to false. All right, let me close out of this, and after that, I'll move it. I'm going to remove the README extension, so it's just basically .ps1. And then if I were to invoke this publish interactive, it's not going to be interactive after that, basically, right? So it'll go ahead and pick up on the fact that this settings file exists, execute my transforms, start publishing, and then it's done. So let's take a look. Let's see if it's if it's completed or not. Boom.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. How cool is that? So,
Cool.
You know, exactly right. So this is all about extensibility, and you can see that, you know, for Package Web, I was able to kind of take the existing build slash publish process that existed, mm-hmm. and then kind of bolt on top the items that I wanted to extend. And then we also saw before that, you know, I can take the existing build system, totally gut it, and 100% replace it, you know. So yeah. Just depends what type of workflow you're kind of interested in getting into.
That's cool stuff.
And yeah, man.
So really cool. Have you written up some of this stuff on blogs?
I have written the vast majority of these on blogs.
So
yeah,
we'll
let me show you my...
those, and then if people have questions, they can just post questions on the show page, and you'll come and answer them. Because I'll let you know their questions.
That is correct. Yeah, you can find me in various different places, you know, like you can find me on my blog, mm-hmm. Also on Twitter and Stack Overflow.
Yep.
Right.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Sweet.
Yeah, man.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Very, very cool. You're definitely coming back.
Yeah,
I'm going to be a regular.
Right. I hope so.
All right,
yeah.
Very, very cool stuff. We'll put links and pointers. If you're like me and you just think that build is and should remain a black box, debuse yourself of that notion. Buy the book, learn about it, and play around with some of this stuff. Very, very cool.
I agree.
All right, we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.